Hi, I'm Elizabeth Payton.
And I'm Michael Clark. So, The Rite of Spring was made first. That was some time ago. And, I mean, that's something so many choreographers have made their own Rite of Spring. I've been in one in Ballet Rombert by Richard Alston. So I guess that's when I heard that music a lot. I then made Apollo as a reaction against The Rite of Spring, because The Rite of Spring was so, for me, it was probably the most elaborate piece of choreography, I guess. I mean, I was trying to explore a new way of making phrases that was very much centered around the pelvis. I kind of was looking historically at, you know, Martha Graham was emotional, it was all from the solar plexus. Cunningham was all about the spine, and I kind of thought, for me, one of my things has been that there's a sexual aspect to dancing which is often denied, and probably was something that was denied in order for it to be okay to go and watch dance without it being, you know, vaudeville, right, or can-can or something. But it's very much part of the subject matter of The Rite of Spring, the idea of life, birth, death, renewal. And so I wanted to make the pelvis the kind of center of the movement. Then working on Apollo was a much more, that's kind of a journey. It's a journey of a person from a boy to a god, I guess, is what's going on. And that is much more, just by the nature of the music and the subject, is a much more linear thing. That's how I see it. And about ideas that are very much part of classical dance, which are about energy going out from the body, beyond the body. I think that was kind of a reaction against the work on The Rite of Spring. I mean, I think, but Lenos, for me, I mean, the key to it is the marriage between classicism and modernism, rather than a literal marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, I mean, it's kind of tradition and innovation, which I think is at the core of what Stravinsky did and what I do. So I kind of think those are the things that interested me.
These three pieces you've worked on, well, Les Noces is very new, but you've worked on them continually for a very long time.
Yeah.
Is that always open? Are they always changing? Or will there be a moment that you're going to say, that's it, they're finished?
I thought The Rite of Spring was the closest to being finished, but there's still, if I think it through in my head, there's still things that need to be clarified. But that's closest to being a complete piece. I would kind of like to, you know, hear to be, you know, I kind of like them to be finished by the time we show them here. That would be great.
But when people go to see them, I know, because I've seen them a few years in a row, I never have a sense that they're incomplete. Like,
right.
I wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
I think you know that.
Yeah. I think it's just, I don't know if anybody else has the same problem, but I find it very hard to finish things, maybe because it means that they're over.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And probably the fact that we do perform them for some time, I have to keep them alive. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a subconscious thing of wanting to keep, remain engaged with the work while it's being performed. Because if it was just something that was repeated the same every night, it would be something dead. Do you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
I was wondering also about Apollo, how much that comes from Balanchine.
I can't think of any movements that are specifically coming from Balanchine. Not in the same way that there are obvious, in The Rite of Spring, there are some, you know, there are some references to Nijinsky's, you know, inverting the sort of turned out position, so the toes are pointing in.
Mm.
There are clear references to the Nijinsky. Apart from the fact that the Apollo is probably the purest thing I've ever done, and that's kind of something that I associate with Balanchine. And he's talked about Apollo being the piece where he found out what he could leave out, what it wasn't necessary to do, so he achieved something much more pure, I guess. Yeah. So it's got those things in common, and I see it very much. It's a very simple structure and a very simple story. I think that I personally think that is all still there, but I know that other people don't necessarily see it that way.
And will you be having the pieces that have the music, the Iggy Pop music in the fall?
Yes, Iggy Pop, Wire, and Barbra Streisand.
Oh.
And the Sex Pistols.
Wow.
Did you see that before?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
The year before last at the Barbican.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, that was so amazing. It's so amazing to hear the music so loud and and see dance that's so relevant. I don't think I ever see that.
I was fortunate enough to be just at that rebellious age in London, studying at the Royal Ballet School when punk happened, and that mm-hmm. there were those two very, very different things coexisting in my life that later on I kind of found a way to bring together. But you know, the discipline I was being trained in was so much the opposite of what punk was about, which is about, you know, basically people couldn't play, and it was about the spirit, really. But I was sure there was a way to marry those two things. I mean, it took a bit of time, but maybe I was just lucky to be in the right place at the right time in those times. But I mean, there was some effort involved in actually, you know, getting away with that, and having fictitious relatives in London who would invite me out for the weekend so that I could go and see bands. Yeah, so it wasn't just luck. There was a bit of effort involved.
Well, it seems like it was something that you really wanted to see.
Yeah.
You really wanted that to be possible. To
yeah, I think I was...
That both
I was,
could exist together.
I was at that age where I was looking for something to identify with. You know, I'd get very into things, or musically, all sorts of things before punk happened. But that really kind of struck a chord, because it was also a kind of, I guess it was the opposite, it seemed like the opposite in a way to this kind of quest for beauty, which is what ballet was all about, some idea of perfection, which I still feel. I mean, that's probably why I feel like nothing's ever finished, because it's never perfect.
Do you see any difference really between using Stravinsky or Iggy Pop?
I think, I mean, I see more, for me personally, that first half was made initially, it was related to The Rite of Spring, because I got the same kind of feeling from The Rite of Spring as I did from those pieces of music that I'd chosen, you know, for other reasons. And also I kind of thought of, you know, in a very different way, the Sex Pistols had a very similar impact on not just music, but in the way Stravinsky did with The Rite of Spring. I was kind of looking for those parallels. But definitely I can see parallels between how I might approach something like Sex Pistols and The Rite of Spring. Lenos and Apollo are different. They're kind of very, because they're very different animals, if you know what I mean. I mean, I guess Lenos has still got that rhythmic drive. But there are things that have definitely been challenging for me about working with both those pieces of music. I mean, kind of, because of my training at the Royal Ballet School, Apollo makes sense to me, you know, physically and emotionally, if you know what I mean. Lenos is a different sort of, it's more of a struggle, but that's kind of why I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different challenge.
I was wondering if you empathize with Stravinsky, because you seem kind of obsessed with his music.
I love the leanness of his music. I love that he seems to know exactly how long something should be before he moves on. That's kind of something that I admire and respect, because it's not something that everyone's necessarily good at. And I think that even though his music can be very emotional, it's also very disciplined. I guess there are qualities in his music that I would like to be, I'd like to be present in my own work. What I wanted was Stravinsky to have a physical presence in the work. You know, I wanted the music to become more present with each piece.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when Diaghilev, when they originally did Lenos, the idea was that the pianos would be on stage, or at least some of the music. I think Stravinsky wanted the music and the dance to coexist on stage, which I've tried to do with the choirs.
Yeah.
But just, you know, from Apollo, which is very conventional in terms of the orchestra being in the pit and we're on stage, I kind of wanted to make the music more present with each one.
I know that you get very obsessed with pieces of music And you just listen to them over and over and over. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it usually the music that comes first, and then in your mind the dance comes after?
Not always, but yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I mean, that is the conventional way. I try and challenge that, and yeah, for example, I've tried, not lately, but I've tried in the past to work with pieces of music that I don't like, for other reasons, because of what they mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I think, for example, Lenos is something that I wasn't naturally drawn to as a piece of music, and that was the challenge, really.
Wow.
I mean, that's just me, but I find the voice in classical music quite difficult, in a way that I don't find it difficult in other music, but it's just so, I guess it'd be the equivalent of a ballet dancer to some people. Visually, they find that hard, because it's so extreme. I find the voice a little bit like that. So that's not an example of something that I dislike intensely, but something that was definitely was a challenge for me, and kind of, I mean, part of why I did this project again over 3 years, and Lenos was in the third year, was to give me 2 years to kind of listen to the music. When I started doing it, I was only allowing myself to listen to, I think it was Apollo at the time. Apollo and Lenos were the only pieces of music I was allowed to listen to. But that got a bit...
That's discipline.
Too much.